If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
He who has an ear, let him hear the footsteps of Christ as he approaches the doors of heaven to return. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Us to the edge of life and death, bound by tears of wisdom. Give us this day, give us the strength to reach out and touch the face of God.
Born through water, refined in flame. Servant of the Most High, unabashed and unafraid. This is the Christopher Manti Show.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back once again. This is the Christopher Manti Radio Program. It is I, your humble host, Christopher Manti, here with you for 1 hour of radio excellence here on the Conservative Nation Media Network, Blog Talk Radio. And contact me, if you will, anytime, Christopher@conservativenationmedia.com is the email. Follow us on Twitter, if you will, at CNR Show. CNR Show. And, of course, Facebook. Give us a like, please, if you would, at Conservative Nation Radio. And my own show at Manti Show. Facebook, Manti Show. Get my likes up, will you? I appreciate that very much. I appreciate you listening to me right now, whether it is live Friday evening, the 18th of October, or not. If it's after, downloading me at your convenience, that is fantastic. Thank you so much. I appreciate you more than I could say. And, of course, we have programs all week here on the network, more than one show a day now. And we'll talk about those later. But tonight on the program, a lot of things, of course, happening in the world as always. This past Sunday, I was a special guest, not special guest, I was invited by Jonathan Cahn, author of The Harbinger. You may have heard of, if you listen to my show with any regularity, you'll know I've been talking about that book for a year now, how you have to read it, and more importantly, absorb the message in it, or at least know what's in it, and there's a companion guide. You don't actually have to read the novel, okay? The fact is that Rabbi Cahn is a messianic rabbi in New Jersey, believer, Christian, and God has revealed to him the fact that September 11th attacks were a wake-up call to the nation, that God has removed his protection, his hedge of protection from us. And that is the result, a strike on the land and a call to repent and turn back. We have not done so. We have done the exact same thing with the ancient nation of Israel, the Northern Kingdom, did 700 BC. When the same kind of attack happened to them. They rebuild stronger and higher with better stones and better trees, and let us build a tower, one translation would put it. And so we have built the quote-unquote Freedom Tower, stronger, better. We don't need God. That's the bottom line. So he says, all right, in history, the nation of Israel would be no more, taken into captivity, scattered throughout the world. And they have never had a nation since then. Judah is something different. There's two kingdoms, Judah and Israel. The Jews, Judah, have a different story. But Israel has never returned to the land. They have their own lands. history repeats. Point is, Harbinger is continuing, and I was invited up to Rabbi Kahn's church called the Jerusalem Center. It's also called Beth Israel. You can check it out. He has a couple of one site called Hope of the World, and it's his, you know, ministry to other nations and stuff like that. Anyways, I'm sure you're familiar with Jonathan Kahn. Anyway, the point of his talk was the Harbinger continuing. We'll talk about that later on tonight. And in that vein, you heard me talk somewhat recently about wings of the eagle. What exactly does that mean? And a new hashtag that I have registered, so much as you can do that, called Resist the Beast. Resist the Beast. And we'll get into what that is all about. And what your role is. And one of the things that has come out of this ridiculous government shutdown that didn't do anything. Nothing was shut down, but it was the end of the world. Turns out a little known fact of it that the power of the national debt has transferred from the constitutional role in the Congress, the House, now to the executive branch. You might not have realized that they snuck that in there. It's now a law that the president can spend as much money as he wants to put the country in as much debt as he, one person, wants. A little troubling. We'll get into why that is if you don't know why already. And to lead the program off, I'm terming it Watch the DHS, Department of Homeland Security. We should not be taking our eyes off of them, folks. Unfortunately, they are not our allies. I know I sound like a crazy man, possibly to some people when I say this. The libertarian is in the audience would have, they're like, duh, no kidding. Watch them. But the more traditional, I guess, conservatives in the audience may have trouble processing that. Hopefully you don't, because you've seen over the past 2 years or so just what they are all about and how this is a deliberate series of events to create a homegrown army that does not pledge allegiance or does not swear to protect the Constitution and the people, but only to obey their boss, which is the administration of the president. So they don't answer to the Constitution or to the people. They answer to the president only. That's a problem. But remember, candidate Obama promised this. A force as strong and as well-funded as our military. The military itself is in a state of double-mindedness. I don't want to say civil war, but there are two factions, for sure, within the military right now. And there have been a lot of high-ranking officers over our nuclear program that have been dismissed just these past week or two. And that should spell trouble for you also. President's getting rid of people who are not with his agenda, all right? It's not with his line of command. He's getting rid of people who would question him. And that's not good. You don't need me to tell you that. So watch the DHS. Here we go. Let's go to the breaking news from today. Obama to tap ex-Pentagon official for Homeland Security. USA Today reports late last night, President Obama plans to nominate former Pentagon attorney Jay Johnson, that's G-E-H, as the next Secretary of Homeland Security. A White House official said Johnson, general counsel for the Defense Department during Obama's first term, will be introduced by the president Friday. That was today. If confirmed by the Senate, which he assuredly will be, Johnson will replace Janet Napolitano, who left to run the University of California Education Program. Good riddance. The president is selecting Johnson because he is one of the most highly qualified and respected, yada, yada. Officials said during his tenure at the Defense Department, Johnson exhibited sound judgment and provided prior legal review and approval of every military operation approved by the president and the Secretary of Defense. In other words, my commentary, in other words, he signed off on anything we did when we started shooting people. The official spoke on the condition of anonymity because Obama had not yet made his public announcement. Johnson would be the fourth head of Homeland Security created in the wake of terrorist attacks September 11th, 2001, which we just talked about. White House official described Johnson as a critical member of the president's counterterrorism team and someone who worked closely with Homeland Security during his years at the Pentagon. Specialties include cybersecurity, played a key role in repealing the Pentagon's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that banned openly gay service members. Mm-hmm. He's right in line, okay? He's a yes man. Johnson, who left his Pentagon post in 2012, also provided legal guidance in the use of unmanned drones against terrorism suspects overseas and in the use of military commissions rather than civilian courts to try suspects. Homeland Security nominee also led a crackdown on unauthorized news leaks at the Defense Department, including a warning to former Navy SEAL who wrote a book about the 2011 raid that killed Osama bin Laden. During a speech at Britain's Oxford University last year, Johnson said the nation's war on terrorism should not be endless and the focus should shift to law enforcement and intelligence operations. Ding, ding, ding. That means you. War must be regarded as a finite, extraordinary, and unnatural state of affairs, Johnson said. In its 12th year, we must not accept the current conflict and that all that it entails is as the new normal. These and other subjects could well service the Senate hearing. Jeff Sessions criticized Obama for nominating a loyalist and fundraiser to lead what he called a mismanaged department. An early political supporter of Obama, Johnson, a native of Wappingers Falls, New York, also served as general counsel to the Air Force during President Clinton's administration. Well, you got quite a character, a lawyer who signs off on killing people and flying drones and says we shouldn't be at war anymore. We should make this about law enforcement, domestic law enforcement. At the Federal Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. You thought Napolitano was bad. Wait for this dude. He's got it all lined up. And here is someone else you might want to take a note of. This is not an official with DHS, but rather an advisor, and take that for what you will. But here are this gentleman's comments. His name is Mohammed El-Abiari. Okay. Department of Homeland Security advisor Mohammed El-Abiari has warned the Tea Party movement against attempting to change the U.S. political landscape through, quote, Christianist xenophobia. In Twitter messages, Elabori further charged some, quote, white identity privilege types have a problem with a, quote, black president and, quote, brown Mexicans. Here's the actual tweet. If Tea Party wants U.S. revived, then we must swing blue seats red, and that is only achievable through libertarianism, not Christianist xenophobia. Oh, Library tweeted. He said Christianist view, quote, today's politics through a theologically influenced view of America's founding. What? It wasn't influenced by Christian theology? The founding? I guess I was wrong. Here's, quote, xenophobia is easier for you to understand on your own, but it has generally manifested itself in anti-immigrant policies, of which Islamophobia today inside the U.S. is just one subcomponent for some white identity and privilege types that have a problem with a black president, brown Mexicans, so on and so forth. However, said he sympathized with, quote, white Americans, meaning he's not one, an American, who accuse, Muslims always do this, by the way. They always want to call themselves Muslim Americans. In other words, they're always not assimilating. White Americans, unlike other racial and ethnic minorities, aren't afforded some political space to publicly speak about group identity needs without racism blowback. Yeah, no kidding. You just did it. Anyways, Christianist. Okay. Anyways, check that out. That is a supposedly conservative, by the way. As he's all for libertarians, I guess, but just not Christian ones. Which is exactly what we need to speak up today, is your Christian libertarians. Well, there's your Homeland Security update. I hope you're ready to rock. Be right back.
I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Welcome back. Welcome. Broadcasting live from the Trinity Media Studios.
Here's your host, Manti.
Yeah, here I am. It's me, Manti. Here on the Christopher Manti Show on Conservative Nation Radio Network. ConservativeNationMedia.com. Shoot me an email if you'd like, Christopher, at ConservativeNationMedia.com. Or if you're live here in the broadcast here on the webpage, check out the chat room below and pop in. Say hi, talk to your fellow listeners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully we will entertain, enlighten, encourage, educate, and any other emotion that happens, I can't really be blamed. Here till 6 o'clock Eastern Time, now 18 after the hour. 1 hour here of the Manti Show every week. I hope you are thoroughly enjoying it so far. Of course, we have other shows on the network every day of the week. Multiple shows per day now. We're going for 2 programs a day, 7 days a week. Pretty much anytime you tune in, if it's, you know, in the afternoon, you're going to get a program or evening. So that's our goal. And, of course, we're mobile optimized. Conservative Nation Radio, fully optimized for your smartphone, iPhone, Android, new Blackberries, wherever you got. You can listen to us on the go. You download the podcast or listen live whenever you want, wherever you are. Same great shows like mine, just fully optimized now for your smartphone. So you don't even have to be on a computer or anywhere near one to participate. All right. So there you have it. I wanted to talk about, like I mentioned earlier, something you might not have heard in all this ridiculousness about the back and forth about this government shutdown that was never really a shutdown and the apocalypse. And I should not say that. I really don't like that word. It's misused. It's never as bad as they say. Lies are flying all over the place. Okay. Here's the article from Breitbart. Senate deal weakens Congress on debt ceiling. It goes further than that. It eliminates the congressional power to establish how much debt we have. how much we spend. All right, here's the story. It's a short one. Capitol Hill talk regarding a Senate deal apparently includes a provision that would take away Congress's power to increase the debt ceiling. According to Politico, it looks like the buzz appears to be true. The plan includes a proposal offered by Mitch McConnell in the 2011 debt ceiling crisis that allows Congress to disapprove of the debt ceiling increase. Notice what that means, which means lawmakers will formally vote on whether to reject a debt ceiling increase until February 7th. Obama can then veto that legislation if it passes. If Congress fails to, as expected, to gather a two-thirds majority to override the veto, the debt ceiling would be raised. Whether it's 4 weeks from now or in 1 year, there's even less reason to put faith in a last-minute deal next time the U.S. is up against a debt limit. Now, there's only one foolproof way to avoid a crisis. Fundamentally change. We know that's what Obama's all about. Fundamentally change the way the debt ceiling works. Senator Barbara Boxer proposed a reform in January that would change the debt ceiling mechanism so Congress would vote to disapprove of an increase as opposed to approving one. Such change would limit debt ceiling negotiations to a veto-proof majority while still leaving Congress with some power. Most interesting part of this proposal was originally floated in 2011 by Mitch McConnell. Potential for a bipartisan deal here exists that to fix the debt limit problem is real. Yada, 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 yada. Additionally, New York Magazine remarked the provision would, quote, defang the debt ceiling, returning it to its historical place as an opportunity for ineffectual posturing rather than extortion. If the president, if the power is with the president, they're not going to turn it down. They're not going to say, no, you can't do that. Override a veto? Two-thirds of the House and the Senate? I don't think so. That ain't never going to happen. So your Constitution was changed without an amendment just because they couldn't have granted a budget. The more cynical you want to be, the more intentional you think this was. Because frankly, if he didn't get it this way, he would have invoked the 14th Amendment in his mind and raised it unilaterally anyway. It's just money, right? Well, fundamental transformation is taking place. I mean, I don't know. Does this make you nervous? Just want to let you know the power has changed. And as we talked about many times on this program, the laws on the books now through Obamacare, Patriot Act, NDAA, a whole bunch of other stuff, plus executive orders, there's nothing else that has to happen for martial law. All that has to happen is president says there's an emergency and he gets a whole bunch of powers that he never has to give up. He controls everything about the society. He controls the food supply, the transportation, the commerce, anything. Of course, he already has the military and Homeland Security and so he has unlimited police and military power. There's really nothing except his whim at this point holding him back. So the question only is, will he force that or will he wait till something bad happens first? Or the super cynical would say, will he create something bad to happen and blame it on that? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying you should prepare that it is going to. Okay? Hey, look, you saw this thing this week when food stamp cards wouldn't work, right? People going to Walmart and loot the place. Imagine that all over the country in every city. And there's whispers about it right now. You can go check it out. The EBT, as they call it, program is might hit a snag. They might have to shut it down. All that. You imagine if that happens with 45 million people depending on it to eat, or at least using it to buy stuff. That's a recipe for disaster. And that's he could do that anytime. He could do that anytime. There's no limit on that or things that has to happen. So be prepared, all right? As I say, in every possible way you can, especially spiritually. I am telling people, I don't care what you think of it. I'm going to say it till I'm out of breath and I die. Politics is over. The political process is done. I'm not wasting one more moment volunteering or even getting paid. I don't care, even though I never have been in my life, volunteering for any political candidate or cause. Not one penny of money, nothing. Every ounce of energy is serving God and preparing for the great tribulation to come. And the stuff before that, by the way. You know, we've got Daniel's 70th week, which is called by Jesus the most, the worst time ever, to paraphrase. Nothing's ever been like it in history, nor ever shall be again, he says. That's how bad it's going to be. And we're going to be here for it. There's no escape. There's no rapture before. You're here the whole time. We're only gathered together with him when he returns to Jerusalem. Not a moment sooner. So anything and everything that happens, you're going to see it firsthand. You're going through it. I don't know what's going to happen to you specifically or your family or your area or what. But the sky's the limit. We know God will protect us and keep us unless we may be able to have the ultimate glory and die for his sake. That's possible. Or it just could be really tough, weird, and interesting for a little bit here. Somewhere between, some people say 7 years, some people say 4 years approximately. The second half of the 70th week being shortened for the elect's sake, as I believe. So we got a while yet. You're not flying out of here and, but it is going to happen. Watch Syria. That's the next thing to go. Right now, it's all of a sudden off everyone's radar. A month ago, it was imminent. Damascus is going to be attacked like tomorrow. And then everyone bungled it up and whatever. It just wasn't supposed to happen yet. Bottom line on that. But it will. And when it does, America goes down. Economically and militarily. It's in the Bible. It's going to happen. It's not postulating. It's not pontificating. It's not guessing. We are in the Bible, and we're going down. Elections won't mean nothing. If there was a chance to stave that off and maybe return to God in some way and get right, the 2012 elections, I think, were our last chance to do that. So I gave it my best. But no more. No more. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the Harbinger continuing, Jonathan Cahn's message on that, and how it's manifesting, and the wings of the eagle. What does that mean? And what does it mean to resist the beast? We'll be back in just a minute.
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or restricting the freedom of the speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievance.
you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to the Christopher Manti Show on Conservative Nation Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to the Manti Show. This is your place of resistance up to the end. It indeed it is, and it is I, Christopher Manti, your humble host. Christopher at ConservativeNationMedia.com is my email. You can send me that now, later, any day of the week. I'll read it and reply. Just a question or comment from you, or a recommendation on a topic, or a guest, or maybe you would like to be a guest. We can arrange that. Shoot me a message, and we'll proceed from there. I promise to get back to you. Trinity Media Online, that is our sponsor here of the studios, and one of the projects, that's my company, one of the projects that Trinity is putting out, has started, it's called Wings of the Eagle, wingsoftheeagle.com. What is that about? All right, well, I'll tell you. Open your Bibles. Revelation chapter 12, verse 14. And this is, if you follow the narrative of this chapter, Satan, the great dragon, that old serpent, the devil, has just been cast out of heaven, and he has a short time. Therefore, he is very angry. Wrath. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. We saw he was thrown down to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who's the woman? It's Israel. All the tribes. Jacob. Okay, verse 14, what about this eagles and wings and stuff? Verse 14, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence or face of the serpent. Let's continue one more. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. By the way, these are Christians. Let's just finish two more verses to establish who this woman is. The earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and drank up the river, which the dragon poured out of its mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah. So these are Christians, okay? These are anyone who resists Satan when he comes and his system. He's mad at you. He's coming after you. You have to be prepared for that. Remember, he has a short time, so it's not as bad as it could have been. As Jesus would say, no flesh would be saved if he hadn't cut the time short. So that's the grace of God once again coming through for us. Okay, so that's with the story of the wings of the eagle are, and there's more scriptures about these wings. If you'd like to check it out, Daniel chapter 7, verse 4 tells you where the wings were, that these two wings that were taken from something and given hence to the woman. You can tell where they came from in Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. And Ezekiel chapter 17 goes into two great eagles. And that's interesting. Again, this has to do with Israel, the house of Israel, and where they went. All right, so check those out. Check those out. And of course, there's the scripture about bearing us up on eagle's wings, all that. So that's the woman. You're the woman. If you know the Great Tribulation is coming, if you're sealed beforehand and you're prepared to face it, Satan himself will be here with his angels. That's something you have to mentally process in your mind and in your spirit and prepare to face. When it does happen, things are going to go haywire, obviously. So that's where I got the name of Wings of the Eagle. Go to wingsoftheeagle.com, wingsoftheeagle.com, or .net, actually, just to be safe. I bought both of them. And you will see a place that is still in development. It's not a finished product. Place that we can gather until they cut the internet off, but at least to know where each other are, to know, to have fellowship and to be encouraged, to study the word, organize, to see what's next on the prophetic clock, to see where each other lives, to see, get the, your quote-unquote offline information so you know where to go and who to contact when the time comes. Maybe if we can't use social, the thing we call the internet, social media and all that stuff. So I highly encourage you to use it. Sign up. Just to say where you are. We've got several folks on there now. And it's just getting cranked up. And I have a map in there that I'm going to be working on where you can literally see with a pinpoint where we are. Your friends, all right? And honestly, we can't be afraid of the NSA or anyone else finding out your information, all right? That game is over. They know. They know whatever they want to know. You can't hide. But we're not about hiding. We're out to take ground. We're champions and ambassadors of God and Christ. We're not hiding from anyone. So go there. Check it out. There's different sections. Again, like I said, the prophetic clock is about what's happening. It talks about, it's a Bible study, basically going through Damascus being destroyed as the first step, then America following the one world government replacing us, the global economy that will collapse, a war that will follow called the deadly wound, and then this arrival of Satan as we just described. So it's a place for any prophet, persecuted, prepper, pastors, patriots, You know, let that be your home in this tribulation hour to come. Maybe you don't think Great Tribulation is coming at all, or you won't be here for it. That's okay. This will be a place of refuge and organization for any time of civil unrest, tyranny, war, spiritual and physical persecution for the sake of the true Christ. It will succeed. So check it out. Again, I have a place called Organize, where you know each other, where each other are, the Word of God, a place to study the Bible and to talk about it. Fellowship is a message board, a forum where you can interact. And I have a secure communications part where you need a password, and we're still developing that. So check it out. That's where the name comes from. That's what the purpose of it is. And as part of that, there's a new Twitter hashtag that I've, you can't own a hashtag, obviously. No one can, you know, claim a tag, but you can register one on a site called Twubs that keeps track of when you say you registered in your name, then you're the owner of it, and you can track whoever. You can see who posts to it and have a little community there and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool. So anytime these things come up and you want to alert yourself as knowing what's happening as a leader, put in hashtag, well, Facebook too, but Twitter especially, put in hashtag resist the beast. By the way, resist, just plain old resist, I registered that also. I figured that would have been done already, but it's not. So it wasn't, so it's mine now. Resist. And then resist the beast, because that is the true bottom line. There are two beasts coming. Two beasts. Revelation 13. Check it out. The first beast is a political government. It is a government system, worldwide government. You call it one world government. You call it New World Order. You call it United Nations or whatever else name they come up with. It's all the same. America cannot be the head of nations. There can be no head. There are seven heads. 10 horns, 10 kings preside over this until, and that, in my opinion, that lasts for 3.5 years in man-managed form. That's going to be a rough time. Then there's an economic collapse and war. There's only one being in the universe who can stop that war, and it's Satan. And he will come as Messiah to heal this wound, stop the war, heal the economy of the world, heal this government, so the one world government can live again and speak to the nations. The whore of Babylon astride the beast in every nation, every tongue. Beast 1. Satan himself is Beast 2. The beast from the sea. The sea is the people. That's a political system. That's the government. The second beast, Satan himself, is from the earth, because it is described that he ascends from the pit with his angels. So it is. The pit is in the earth. Okay? That's how it's going down. And get ready.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Rock and roll, my friends. Best thing there is. Welcome back to the Christopher Manti Show. It is I, your humble host, Christopher Manti, here till, well, 12 minutes from now. The last segment of the program this week on the 18th of October. For the East Coast of these United States, it is I. And thank you, because you are here too. Thanks for joining me. Christopher at conservativenationmedia.com is the email if you want to send me a message anytime. And remember, we are mobile optimized. You can listen from your iPhone, Android, tablet, BlackBerry, whatever you got. Download the podcast, listen live, wherever you are, whenever you want. Every show that we have, same great shows, same great people now, fully optimized, conservativenationmedia.com. Check it out. Okay. So I'm going to close out the program here. Remember, I was invited up to Jonathan Cahn's church. Fantastic. I mean, dudes, you have no idea. This place is phenomenal. It used to be like a furniture store, you know, so it's a big open floor plan, big square basically. And man, what he's done with that is it's like going into old city Jerusalem, and there's scriptures in the rock all over the walls, and there's this atrium with all the tribes of Israel, and just so cool and so biblical, so right on. Just a great sanctuary, and it literally is a sanctuary and a refuge. And that was the point of the revelation that he gave this week, reason why he invited us up. The Harbinger, of course, was written about a year and a half ago, and it was about September 11th, about how the day itself was a repeat of history, a repeat of God's judgment, and it will continue. It continued 7 years later with the economic collapse, which we still have not recovered from, and of course, there's a seven-year period after that, so that's 2015. Who knows what could happen there? If we even make it, we don't know. But the point is that there are even more signs that God is in control, and that his people, there are prophets being called out right now all over America and the world. But these prophets need to speak and not shut up. Speak and speak and speak and act and act and act. And evangelize and prophesize. And let the Spirit work through you, and don't worry about anything else. God needs you to be your best. Be what you were born to be. Put down what you need to put down. Be what you were born to be. If you don't know what the Harbingers were and are, I will go over them very quickly right now. In a nutshell, the hedge of protection is in Isaiah chapter 5. tells about the hedge on the house of Israel, how it was removed in Ezekiel 13. And then Isaiah 9 tells the story. The Lord sent a word to Jacob, and it lighted upon Israel, and all the people shall know that Ephraim, that's us folks, and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. Those are better stones. And the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars, better trees. Therefore the Lord will cut off Israel, head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head. The prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall he have mercy on the fatherless and widows, for every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So the individual has the opportunity of salvation, even in the midst of judgment. Here are the nine harbingers of judgment on the house of Israel. They happened 700 years ago, I'm sorry, 2,700 years ago to the ancient house of Israel, and they happened again to the modern in America on September 11th. Here they are. Number one, the breach. That is when the hedge of protection was partially removed, a limited strike on the consecrated land. That's the attack of 9/11 itself. That happened in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount back in ancient Israel, and the attack of 9/11 in New York. Number two, the terrorist. Those are the perpetrators. The Assyrians who attacked ancient Israel were the first terrorists. They had a habit of putting disemboweled bodies and, you know, decapitated heads on stakes and freaking people out to never mess with them, okay? This is the Islamic terror of today. Of course, they were the perpetrators of 9/11. Three, the fallen bricks. Easy to see. In ancient Israel, the walls of the temple and the city were taken down. The bricks fell. And, of course, we all saw the collapsing of the World Trade Center falling. Number four, the tower. That's right. That's one of them. When they rebuilt a tower in ancient Israel, and we rebuilt one called the Freedom Tower. It's in defiance, folks. That's the problem. It's not godly. It's in resistance to God. When we're supposed to be resisting the devil, we're resisting God instead. So we resisted him in defiance and built the Freedom Tower, just like ancient Israel did. The fifth harbinger is called the Gezit Stone. That's the stone building stronger than before. We will rebuild stronger, right? That's rebuilding in defiance. That was fulfilled also, and there is actually a stone cut from a mountain, which is the exact Hebrew meaning of that word, in New York State. And it was laid as the foundation, the cornerstone of the Freedom Tower, fulfilled exactly the same. Sign six, the harbingers, number six, the sycamore. Oh, your sycamore, what the heck is that? There's this New York City, there's no sycamore trees. Bull, there wasn't. There was a sycamore tree right in the shadow of the World Trade Center that was uprooted. And the only building that was not destroyed was a little church called St. Paul's Chapel, protected by that sycamore tree. It was uprooted at ground zero, took the force of the blast, and protected that church. The Erez tree, Harbinger 7, that is the tree of defiance planted by ancient Israel, a better tree, stronger, taller tree. We planted that at ground zero itself, and right at St. Paul's Chapel. And by the way, update, it's dying. They called it the tree of hope. Hope in man will wither and die. So it is. Harbinger 8, the utterance. This is the public defiance by leaders of the country. Israel did it. In the present tense, the utterance was made by John Edwards. September 11, 2004, he quoted Isaiah 9:10 verbatim. He didn't know what he was doing, but he did it. Harbinger 9, the prophecy. This is the public defiance by leaders in the future tense, asking basically for judgment. They are pronouncing judgment on themselves. Tom Daschle did this September 12, 2001. He quoted Isaiah 9:10. This is judgment, folks. It's real. It's happening. Oh, by the way, St. Paul's Chapel, why was that protected? Because that is the exact church in 1781 that George Washington and the first American government was assembled and prayed to God. They prayed in that actual church for the blessings of God. They founded America in prayer in that place. So that is why judgment returned there. Just like in ancient Israel, to the Temple Mount, to where we consecrated our country at ground zero. Not a coincidence that the attack was at ground zero. And by the way, there was a crack right down the road in a giant stone structure called Federal Hall. Federal Hall is where George Washington was sworn in as our first president. And he said, if we don't obey the laws of God, we will not get the blessings of heaven. So it is. The actual foundation of America was literally cracked on September 11th. And there's a lot more, actually, but those are the major mind-blowing parts. And, of course, the Shemitah, which I mentioned earlier, the seven-year period, is a economic judgment. The largest stock market crash in history was September 17th, 2001. Exactly seven Hebrew years later, it was surpassed as the greatest crash in history on September 29th, 2008, exactly seven Hebrew years later, biblical years, the Shemitah, all because of September 11th. The world economy would have crashed that day if not for the Federal Reserve and the socialistic schemes that saved us. The next one's coming September 2015. And, of course, like I heard this week, the Harbinger is continuing. Mystery ground of New York. We are his battle axes. Remember that? This is coming from the sermon. Ezekiel 26:9 really hit home to me. And he shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. So it is, and Jesus himself would say in Matthew 3 and Luke 3, and now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That'll do it for me this week, folks. I hope I reached you in some way, entertained, enlightened. Please remember to choose tomorrow, today, who you will serve. It's that important. We are not going to get another chance at this. See you next week.